Good morning. Good morning. Not convinced my microphone is on yet. I think it is. Yep, definitely on now. Good morning, folks, and welcome. It's Sunday, the 25th of December, folks. It's Christmas morning, and it's a joy to welcome all of you to our building today as we unite together to celebrate the Christmas message. Good to be back with you. Folks, I could not have got out of bed and stood last Sunday. And I'm really thankful to Stephen Johnson, who stepped in at really short notice because he didn't get that message as soon as I thought he would get it. But I really appreciated Stephen standing in last Sunday morning and evening, and really disappointed I couldn't be here, particularly last Sunday evening. But great to be back today, folks. Energy levels are not great. I may have to lie down after I've spoken to the children. We'll see how it goes. But we're here this morning to celebrate. We're here to worship. God is here. The Messiah has come. We open our eyes to see him. We lift our hearts to worship him. We've come to exalt the name of Jesus, our Savior and King, and to bring glory to God the Father. So let's do that right away. Let's stand, let's sing together, O come, all ye faithful. That's a great sign. Let's come before God together in prayer. Let's pray. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards those he favors. For unto us is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We praise you, we bless you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for this greatest of your mercies. God and Father, we praise you for the message of Christmas. We praise you that it is about your love for this fallen world. That it is all about your Son, the physical manifestation of that love, that it is about Emmanuel, God with us. We praise you, we celebrate that incredible truth today, that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That Jesus has walked where we walk. That he has experienced what we experience. So that he might identify with us in all things. Thank you that when he was born, he came into a humble home and knew what it was to be poor. Thank you that he had to grow and learn like any other child. We thank you that he knew what it was to do a good day's work when he grew to manhood as a carpenter in Nazareth. We thank you that he knew what it was to be tempted and tired and hungry and sad just as we are. We praise you that he was one with us in all things, except from our sin, that he truly shared in every other respect this life with all its struggles and toils, its joys and sorrows, its trials and temptations. We thank you for the example and service of his life, his preaching of good news to the poor, healing the sick, setting free those held prisoner by the evil one, identifying with those who suffered injustice and oppression. And above all, we praise you for the love that caused him to die for our sins on the cross, the power of his glorious resurrection to newness of life. Grant, Lord, that we may each meet with the risen Christ in this special day. And as he comes here among us by his Spirit, may he find that we have room in our hearts for him. Receive our praise, hear our prayer, which we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't get reading it on Sunday night, so I want to read John's prologue to his gospel. I want to read it this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. And we thank God for this reading from his Word. Boys and girls, come on down. Come on up to the front. You've got your Christmas present. If you've got a Christmas present or two with you, bring them up as well. Come on down. Join me here, okay? Don't be shy. Come on up. Come on, Leo. Leo, you had a big bag of stuff. I saw you come in with a big bag of stuff. Where is it? That's not all that was in the bag, is it? Oh, so, Daddy, sit with her. Come on now. So let me tell you, Daniel Nelson's dying to come up to the front as well. So. All right. Got a few more coming from upstairs. Come on up. Come on. Come on, Katie. Come on, Emily. Come on, Louise. Louise, I think that's your pram. Daniel really doesn't want to push that, I don't think. Come on, take a seat on the floor there. It's hard to steer with one hand, isn't it, boy? Yeah. Oh. All right. Everybody just grab a seat. Server, got to tell you, you're pretty quiet so far this morning. I hope that doesn't mean that you've been up really, really early and you're already run out of energy. What time are you up at this morning? 7:30. That's a good, respectable time. Hold on. We'll come to you. Don't you worry. You'll not get left out. 7:30. Right. James?
I wake up at 15.
Right. At 6? Okay, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Any up? 7:45. Yeah, that's how we know you're practically a teenager, Daniel. Yep.
I didn't wake up this morning.
You didn't wake up this morning? Your mom told you to wake up. Wow. Okay, your mom had to get you up. Didn't anybody else's mom have to? Most boys and girls wake up instinctively somehow in the early hours of Christmas morning. Yeah, and tell me this. Have you got any nice presents? Who wants to tell me or show me what they've got? One at a time. Right, Emily, first of all, what have you got there now? Hold on, let me see. I should have got another microphone. Your dad will be telling me off for not having got another microphone.
A doll.
A doll. And what sort of a doll is this?
I don't really know.
You don't really know? Well, I'm reading what it says on our top here. I don't speak fashion. I am fashion. And with boots like that, wow, who could contradict that? Right. Anybody else want to tell you? Louise, what did you get for Christmas?
A baby.
A baby? Now, can you show me? Because I can't see her at the minute. Are you sure she's in there? Oh, there she is. There she is. Great.
Yeah.
And baby binoculars as well?
Yeah.
Or are those yours?
Yeah.
Yep. The other way round.
Yeah.
Yep. That. No, dear. That way. You see me now? Extreme close-up, yep. Right. Daniel.
Yes?
What have you got there?
A table tennis thing. So you have to press this and then you have to bounce it.
Okay.
And try and see how far you can, try and see how long you can keep it up
going
for.
Just yourself. So yeah. You just, right, can you show me? Can you?
Sure. practicing.
Okay, you haven't.
Haven't been practicing at all. So
you see, you should have got up before 7:45, and then you would have had more time to. I see now. Okay, very good. Very good. Right, anybody else? Liam, what did you get?
A Yoshi teddy.
A Yoshi teddy. And that is from Super Mario Brothers Adventures, isn't it? Yeah, I know about that in our house. What have you got there?
Dolly.
What is it?
Dolly.
Say it again. It's a lovely dolly, isn't it? Lovely dolly. Lovely to have you here today. Yep, James.
Have I got...
Yeah, tell me who these two guys are. Can I hold one of these? And so we've got...
Huddy Wuddy.
Say it again.
Huddy Wuddy.
I'll take your word for it. And this one?
Kihibihi.
Okay. Yes, you're showing me these sunglasses. Now, are these special sunglasses, or are these just because you're a cool guy?
I could see to hide myself with these. They're by slashes.
Can I try that?
Yeah.
Oh, those are really clever. Those are, I see what you mean. Those are, nobody would be sneaking up on you with those now. Well, Katie, what about you? What have you got?
Magnifying glass.
A big magnifying glass. That is good. You're going to be a detective when you grow up. Super, super duper. What about in the Crawford household? What do we get for Christmas, Danielle?
Just this bowl.
Okay. Right. Can I see? It's squishy. Lovely. What have you got there, Jordan? You've got a Jeep there, have you? Lovely, lovely Jeep.
We love cars.
You love cars?
I love cars.
Okay. What about anybody else?
And now. I have an LOL doll.
Say that into the microphone.
LOL doll.
And you've got a pram here as well. And you've got a wee bit of lipstick on you there this morning as well, yeah? just a little bit. What about you, Nick?
No, I just bought her up with me.
No, I wasn't saying you've got lipstick on. I was saying, what did you get for Christmas?
No, I just brought her up with me.
Oh, you brought her up with you. Okay. And you're here the whole way from?
Australia.
Oh, listen to that. Speak a wee bit more. Do we hear that great accent?
Say
happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Lovely. We've got folks here from Australia today. We've folks from South Africa. We've folks from across the water. Real international gathering today. And lots of lovely Christmas presents. Here's a question for you. Tell me this. Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Anybody know? Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Emily.
It's Jesus' birthday and we can't give gifts to him, so we give them to each other.
Oh, that's very good. It's Jesus' birthday. Let's start with that. Yeah. It's Jesus' birthday. That's why we give gifts, because today is Jesus' birthday. So the answer to that question really is this. Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Jesus is the reason we give gifts. Jesus is the reason that we're getting presents and giving presents today, because we're remembering that first Christmas, the greatest gift the world was ever given. What was the gift that God gave us? The gift of
Jesus,
the gift of his son. So the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So the reason we have gifts at Christmas is because we're remembering that God gave first, and God gave us the gift of his only son. That was how much God loved the world and how much God loved you and me. And another reason we give is because Jesus once said this. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, you're at that stage. See, when you're younger, you're at that stage where you think, actually, it's better to get. That's why you love Christmas morning. You love getting presents. You love getting your toys. But as you get older, I think you discover that there's so much pleasure in giving to other people and seeing the joy and seeing the happiness that our gifts can give others. And Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And Jesus showed that himself, because he always gave to other people and he gave his life for us. And then, of course, we remember at Christmas there were people came to visit Jesus and they brought gifts. Who came to visit Jesus with gifts?
The three kings.
The three kings, the three wise men. What were the gifts that they brought? Can you tell me one, Leo?
Oh, frankincense.
Frankincense, James?
Gold.
What was the third one? Myrrh, yep, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came, they gave their gifts to Jesus. So the reason we have gifts at Christmas, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the reason that we give gifts at Christmas, because we're remembering how God gave us the gift of his son. And yep, you're right, we give gifts to each other, as Emily said, because we can't give physical presents to Jesus, but we can give a gift to Jesus. What would Jesus most like from us? What is it Jesus wants from us? Well, not to be good, because Jesus came because we can't be good, because we're all sinners. What does Jesus want us to give him? He wants us to give ourselves to him. He wants us to give our lives to him. He wants us to accept him as his Savior, as King of our lives. That's the best gift we can give to Jesus. That's the only thing Jesus wants from us, is for us to respond to the love that he has shown us and to give our lives to him. I hope you have a great Christmas time. I hope you have a great day in the coming days as well. Hope you keep well, because there's a lot of things going around at the minute. But let's close our eyes. Let's pray for a wee moment. Father God, we thank you that Jesus is the reason. He's the reason we're here today. He's the reason we're able to celebrate. We give because you first gave to us. You love this world so much, you gave the gift of your only son. We thank you for the gifts that we've received, for the gifts that we've given. But above all, we praise you for your gift. And may we respond to your gift of love by offering ourselves to follow Jesus, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Thank you very much. I'll let you go back to your mums and dads, grannies and grandas. Have a lovely day, folks. That's a lovely dress there as well. Now, wow, look at that. Some lovely sparkly dresses. You almost need James's darkened glasses as you look down this direction this morning. Very, very pretty sights all around the church today now. Daniel, what did you get for Christmas, son? Are you feeling left out because we didn't talk to you? Come on.
Mr. Christmas, tell us.
I got an iPad.
Ooh, who was that from?
Jess.
Very nice. And there was nothing left in the kitty after that, I presume. Like, very nice. And do you not have it with you, Daniel?
Jess wouldn't let me bring it.
She wouldn't let you bring it, yeah. She knew you'd get distracted and wouldn't listen to the minister. Folks, let's continue to worship God. Let's sing together. I think we're going to sing Joy to the World, aren't we? Lovely. Okay, let's worship God. On behalf of myself and Linda and Joanna and Emily and Stephen, we want to wish all members of our church family a hope-filled and blessed Christmas. We want to thank you too, folks, for all your cards and gifts in recent days. Sorry that we haven't been inviting you in, but it's been a bit of a plague house at the manse over in recent days. Much, much improved now, I'm happy to say. But thank you for all those gifts. Really appreciate that. And thank you for all your encouragement and support over the last year. This job doesn't get any easier, folks, far from it. And the culture and the context in which we have got to live as followers of Jesus Christ is not getting any easier either. And we need to encourage and support one another. When you look at what's happening, when you look at the absolute madness that was passed by the Scottish Parliament this week, that's a direction. That's a sign of the direction that our society is heading. It's truly frightening. And that's why it's good that we have confidence and hope that we're going to be thinking about in a few minutes' time. Folks, I'm off this incoming week. I've no energy hardly to speak of. I'll be back in the 2nd of January. The Reverend Adrian McLernan is on call during this week. But I'd ask, if you need a minister, and I hope you don't, but if you do need a minister, then get in touch with Adrian through Stephen Johnson, our clerk of session. 422 are going to meet in the link this Thursday, the 29th of December, 2:30 p.m. for an informal afternoon together. Christmas at home, my memory of an old Christmas. So 422 meeting in the link this Thursday, 2:30 p.m. And folks, as you would have heard last week, we have a congregational committee election coming up next month. The voters' list for the congregation is now in display. Let me remind you, voting members in the church are communicants on the roll of the congregation who are listed, whether by name or number, as having contributed to the weekly free will offering of the congregation in the last financial year. Those lists went up on display last Sunday. They're there again today. If you have any member of the congregation who claims to be a voting member desires to make an objection regarding any name of the list or omitted from the list, you are required to lodge your objections with your reasons in writing with me by today. I haven't got any letters from anybody, so I assume you've looked at the voters' list. There's nothing there that you want to challenge, in which case we'll be moving on with that process. And in a couple of Sundays' time, we'll be thinking then about the role and the duties of the committee and the people that we should be looking to vote to serve on that committee. Let's come before God together again in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, at this Christmas time, we pray for those, Lord, who have need of your grace and your help. Those for whom it's maybe hard to see Christmas as a time of good news, of great joy, particularly this year. We commit to you those who are sick, those who are in hospital over this Christmas. We thank you for our hospitals. We thank you for the diligence and care and the skills of our medical staff. And we remember those who are serving in our hospitals over this Christmas. Give to them strength and help and what are the unceasing demands on their time. But we pray, Lord, you'd be pleased to work through our medical staff to restore those who are sick to health and strength once again. Be near to those who are in hospital that they would know your presence and rest in your love and your promises. We pray for those who have concerns for a loved one at this time, that you'd help them to cast their anxieties on you and to know your undertaking for them and supplying them with grace and strength. We pray for those who especially today need to know you as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Those whose hearts are sad this day. Come and surround them, Lord, with your love and your compassion and your comfort. We pray for those who are not able to join us, Lord, in worship in person due to age or infirmity. We thank you for those who can avail at home of that technology to share with us. But we think of those in residential and nursing homes who were once present with us. Think of those who are housebound. Be near to them. Give to them assurance of your love and your presence. We pray that their hearts would be warmed by that presence and that they would know and experience the reality of Emmanuel wherever they are. Fathers, we celebrate your son's birth today in absolute freedom. We remember our brothers and sisters in Christ and other lands who do not have the freedom to assemble to worship. We remember those nations, so many nations where your people suffer for their faith in Christ. We remember today the church in nations like North Korea and Eritrea and Nigeria and throughout the Muslim world. Wherever your people suffer, we thank you for their courage. Thank you for their witness. And we ask that you would continue to strengthen them and build up your church. And may they know Emmanuel with them as they seek to celebrate the coming of Jesus in whatever way they are able. Father, we're conscious that again, on this day, conflict continues across our world in many places. We think especially of Ukraine and the ongoing war there. And we pray again, Lord. We pray again for opportunity, especially over this winter time, Lord, for fighting to die down, that there would be opportunity given to find a way out of this, to bring an end to the untold suffering for so many millions in that nation. Father, we commit all these things to you now. And we bring these things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, in the knowledge that you hear and you answer those prayers that we bring in the name of Jesus. Amen. In his well-known song, Imagine, John Lennon encouraged people to imagine a world without God. Because that's what he was saying. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. He sought to portray such a world as some kind of utopia. But folks, have you ever taken time to imagine what such a world would look like? Imagine a world into which God had not come. Imagine for a few moments a 25th of December where Jesus isn't the reason. Imagine a world where Jesus never came. A world where the power and the corruption and the values and the morality of the Roman Empire still prevail. A world where there would be no inherent idea of the dignity and worth of every human being as someone made in the image of God. A world where slavery would be a way of life for countless millions. And where the overriding principle in society would be might is right. Imagine a society where life is cheap. And where the length and quality of your life depends on the whim of what was often a cruel and capricious emperor with absolute power over life and death. Where wars and conquests are fought and thousands of ordinary people suffer and die to satisfy the selfish ambitions of your ruler. A world where crucifixion is still the common method of execution for criminals and others. And where every hint of dissent is violently suppressed with military might. A society where the rich constantly get richer and the poor get poorer. A society where unwanted infants are exposed to the elements and left to die. And where women have few or no legal protections and are completely at the mercy of male misogyny. A society where there are no sexual boundaries or standards of any sort. And where the only guiding principle is that you do whatever seems right in your own eyes. A society where there's no prospect of salvation. Where there's no kindly God of love and grace who offers salvation. Instead, your only recourse is false religions, where in every case you are seeking to save yourself through your own efforts with no guarantee of success. That would not be a happy world to live in, would it? People would be left with feelings of no significance, no ultimate meaning or purpose, and with no hope of anything better to come. And the reason why that society of ancient Rome was changed and transformed in the centuries that followed is because Jesus came. Because Jesus did come. Because he is the reason. And if our society today, as you listen to that description, if our society today in many ways once again is beginning to resemble that of Rome in the days when Jesus first appeared on this earth, and it is more and more beginning to resemble first century Rome, then that is because our society has by and large forgotten that Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the reason for our celebration today. Thankfully, Christmas assures us that there is a God of love and a God of compassion and grace who sent his only Son into a lost world filled with sinners like you and me. Jesus is the reason for today's celebration. And yet, as I wrote more briefly in our bulletin for December and January, the reality of Jesus being the reason goes far beyond the celebration of today. Because when you begin to think about it, you realize that Jesus is the reason for everything. Nothing in this life has any significance or eternal value if Jesus is not at the center of it. The book of Colossians, Paul writes words that remind us of that truth. Let's look at them together, folks. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. It's Christmas Day. It shouldn't make any difference. We should still get our Bibles out and open them, folks. We really should. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. Familiar words, but that's just think about how all-encompassing these words are in terms of the position that God has given to Jesus. Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased of all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things in heaven or things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Do you see it there? Jesus is the reason for everything. Jesus is the reason when it comes to creation. For in him all things were created. Or as John puts it in his wonderful prologue, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. He's the reason why the cosmos exists. He created all things. By his will they were created and have their being. And we learn from the beauty and the complexity of that creation something of his eternal nature and divine power. Jesus is the reason when it comes to creation. And Jesus is the reason why this creation continues to exist. Despite all the damage that sinful humanity is guilty of doing to this world, Jesus is the reason why this creation continues to exist, because not only did he create all things, Paul tells us here, in him all things hold together. Jesus holds all things together. It's not the first time I've said this in recent months. Jesus is actively sustaining this world through his almighty power, folks, and he will continue to do that right up until the end of the age. You know, in a year that has witnessed so much fear and alarm from climate activists, whether they be Extinction Rebellion or Just Stop Oil or Insulate Britain or whatever they're going to call themselves next month, for me, there has been no greater and more comforting truth than this. The Son of God continues to sustain this creation through his almighty power. Jesus is the reason when it comes to salvation. Jesus is the reason when it comes to salvation. Because there's no salvation outside of him. For God was pleased of all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. We were once God's enemies because of our sinful behavior. But we were brought into a right and restored relationship with our Creator because of the work of Jesus on the cross. The barrier of our sin, the curse of our sin has been overcome. The price was paid in full. God's justice has been satisfied, and the power of sin and death have been overcome. And so as Peter and John declared in Acts 4, salvation is found in no one else. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus and Jesus alone is the reason for salvation. And so Jesus is the reason that Christians live as people of hope in what has become a hopeless world. Jesus is the reason why Christians live as people of hope. We live with dignity and significance and purpose because we know that we are all equal in Christ Jesus, that we are equally loved and valued no matter what our status or station in this life. We each enjoy the privilege of adoption into God's family. We are children of a king. And we are heirs of a coming kingdom. Jesus is the reason that we live as people of hope. Jesus is the reason why Christians continue his mission of preaching good news to the poor, proclaiming freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight for the blind, seeking to release the oppressed. As Christians establish schools and hospitals, as they work to lift people out of poverty, as they seek to overcome injustice, as they challenge the prevailing values and morality of a sinful and decaying culture, we are following in the footsteps of our Savior. Jesus is the reason why Christians continue his mission. And Jesus is the reason that despite all the conflict and chaos around us, we look to the future with hope and confidence. Jesus is the reason why we look to the future with confidence. Because we know that that Jesus who was born in Bethlehem a little over 2,000 years ago has promised he's coming back in power and glory and majesty, and every eye will see him. And he will triumph over all those powers that stand opposed to him. He will judge the world with righteousness, and suffering and mourning and pain shall pass away as through Jesus all things are made new. Jesus is the reason for everything. He gives meaning and purpose and significance and peace and hope to those who know him. Jesus is the reason. He's at the center of human history. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. Jesus is the reason. And that finally brings us down to a much more personal level, because we each, friends, have to answer this question. Is he your reason? Is he your reason? He's at the center of creation. He's at the center of human history. He's at the center of all God's plans for the future. That is the reality, and nothing can change that. And all the persecutors from Herod onwards have ultimately learned that to their cost. But is he your reason? Is serving Jesus the reason you get out of bed in the morning? Is Jesus the reason you go about your life with purpose, with joy? Because if he's not, then the values and priorities of your life are all wrong. Whether or not he will be or become our reason is left up to us. You have to decide what you will do with that gift that's offered at Christmas. The gift of God's only Son. The gift of a Savior for this tired and broken world. We choose what we do with that gift. We can accept it joyfully and humbly and thankfully and bow the knee to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, or we can leave it unopened and unwrapped underneath the tree for another year. Jesus is who he claimed to be, and all the evidence points to that conclusion. If he alone offers us salvation now, and if he alone offers hope for the future, then he needs to be at the center of our celebrations today, and he needs to be at the center of our life from day to day. For to paraphrase an old Christmas advert, Jesus is for life, not just for Christmas. And if Jesus is the reason, then there is no more important task than getting to know him better and making him known to others. That's why in the New Year, Kirk Session will present what we've identified as spiritual priorities for these next couple of years. And it can be summarized in four words. Go deep. Go wide. If Jesus is the reason, then we will want to go deep. We will want to grow as his disciples. We will not be satisfied with how our relationship with Jesus is this morning. We will want to see it grow. If you know Jesus as your reason, then you need to devote yourself to going deeper as his disciple and to make the most of the opportunities that are going to be available and are available to do that. We also want to challenge us as a congregation to go wide, to go deep and to go wide. We want to seek to reach out far beyond our church doors. We want to go wide as individual disciples and as a church as we devote ourselves to intentional evangelism, reaching out with the message that Jesus is the reason. Because he is. Is he your reason? If not, then he wants and he needs to become your reason today. And if he is your reason, if he is your Savior and Lord, are you ready to go deep and to go wide for him in the new year that lies before us? Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you that Jesus is the reason. The reason why we're here today. The reason why we're celebrating this festival. Well, we thank you even more profoundly. Jesus is the reason for everything. Because it pleased you, Lord, to put him at the center of everything. He's our creator. He's our sustainer. He's our only savior. He gives us meaning and purpose for today. He gives us hope for the future. May Jesus be our reason. From the youngest child to the oldest adult here this morning. May we know Jesus as the reason that we can enjoy and know life in all its fullness, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Let's join together. Let's sing. Hark, the herald angels sing. Thanks to these guys all around us for leading our praise. Thanks to the audiovisual guys down at the back. Thanks to those who are on the door. And folks, have a hope and a joy-filled Christmas. And let's remember that Jesus is the reason. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.